Wednesday, my friends.
It is Wine Wednesday.
It is, after a hurricane. That's the best kind of Wine Wednesday.
Post-hurricane edition.
It's really enlightening. In fact, we're going to learn all sorts of stuff today. I'm kind of excited. It's a room of powerful ladies that all play a very important role, not just in the community, but in bringing about awareness. And it's awareness on a couple of different topics. But I am your hostess with the mostest, Anna Valencia Tillery. Really excited to be here today. My partner in crime is Kitty Wagner is here.
Yay.
Blue star extraordinaire.
Did you end up excited about the air conditioning these days?
I know, right? It's not overrated. It's
no,
great.
It's not.
So when folks come in Tuesday through Saturday to dine and have a wonderful experience with you, they're going to get AC this time.
It's pretty.
Power's back on. Everyone's good.
Power's back on. We actually got power back on at the restaurant on Sunday. Or I'm sorry, Saturday afternoon, and we were open Saturday night, which
good.
Was nice.
Yeah,
we had a good turnout Saturday night. It was great.
Well, people were done being cooped up in the house, I think. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, Bastide Miraflores. This is our wine of the week. It's sensational.
The Côtes Catalan. It's French. It's old vine Grenache and Syrah.
Yum. That'll go with a big stew or something, right?
I know. You know, it's so cool the way it cooled off after that hurricane went by.
I know. That was the welcome.
It does feel like fall.
Yeah.
Finally.
It's here.
Yay.
Football weather.
Woo, woo. Kitty. Don a flannel. It's a football season.
I know. I was working outside on the boat, and I actually got cold, and I was like, I need my favorite flannel shirt.
Aw. Five wines. $5 a glass, $15 a bottle. Special going on right now at the Blue Star.
That's right. You better get there soon because
that's a deal.
It ends November 1st.
No pressure, folks. No pressure. Very exciting. And this day in history, 1492, what happened?
Columbus.
Christopher Columbus.
Sailed the shining seas.
Right?
The ocean blue.
The ocean blue. She knows the rhyme.
And did you know that it's pasta month?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes, I actually
Do you
put
think that,
that post out.
Chris had a lot of pasta on board.
Had to. Could you imagine?
Yeah.
Could you imagine if you were on a ship and the big hurricane came through? What? Jeez.
Those
so he made landfall
ships,
on the
too.
Caribbean island he named San Salvador.
Yep.
That's my fun fact. Okay, so I want to talk about breast cancer awareness. We're halfway through the month of October, and we have yet to really hit home with that. Every year, Kitty and I do an awareness show. And so we're excited to have Dr. Heather Nagel with us today. She is a board certified, lifetime certification, might I add, Vero Radiology Associate Director of Women's Imaging. And we're really, really lucky to have you here. Thank you for coming.
Well, thank you for having me.
Of course. If I may just preface this with the fact that the lady that I loved the most, my grandmother, she died in 1996 of breast cancer, from breast cancer. And at that time, she had done the double mastectomy, the whole nine. And just to see a lady that had so much life and then just be worn out because of the disease, and then to see her be peaceful and at rest. I mean, it was just, as a young girl, it was a lot to take in and process, because here's a woman that was the strongest and most amazing woman that I've ever known. And, you know, cancer affects us all, no matter what income we have or where we live. So I think that it's really interesting that we bring about some awareness. So Breast Cancer Awareness Month is the entire month of October.
Correct.
Do you know when that started, by chance? I'm just curious. I mean, it's decades old at this point, but I was just wondering. You don't have to have that detail. I'm just kind of curious. But one of the things that I want to talk about are some of the symptoms and signs, so that our listeners are knowing that we're doing our self-checks. But what are the things that we should be looking for?
Well, thank you for having me. And the good thing is that even though breast cancer is very common, one in eight women will have a chance of getting breast cancer. Wow. There are about 2.5 million breast cancer survivors. Mm-hmm. So the message is early detection is much better for outcome. What do we look for? Well, I think there was a lot of confusion about the past 2 or 3 years about what do we need to do for screening. Should we do breast self-exam? Should we do the yearly mammogram? Mm. There were some studies that came out as well, some recommendations that women did not need the every year mammogram after the age of 40, like we had traditionally have done. They said that women did not need to have a yearly mammogram until after the age of 45, until the age of 55, then every 2 years after that till the age of 80. And there's a lot of controversy about that. The American College of Radiology and the American College of Surgeons still recommends a yearly mammogram after the age of 40 for every woman, and even earlier screening if the woman's at risk. And so what someone needs to look for, we want to find cancers before they're symptomatic. That's why they're treatable. We want to find them before there's lumps and bumps and dimpling and nipple discharge. Those are the signs that someone would look for in themselves for breast cancer. Mm. If you got a yearly physical exam, your doctor would do a breast exam. Even the newest recommendations do not recommend a woman do breast self-exam.
What?
Which I'm very opposed to, because
that's so strange.
Very strange.
Nobody knows your boobs better than you and your boyfriend.
Right. You know, they're worried about raising concern and anxiety in women by having them do their own breast exams. But I can tell you, in my business, it's not uncommon that we see someone that comes in with a finding on a physical exam, like a lump or bump or dimpling or some retraction or discomfort, nipple discharge. We might do imaging. Otherwise, they would just ignore it.
Right.
They may forget about their breasts. People get busy in their lives. You hear differences in recommendations. And, you know, I even for a couple of years forgot to do my own screening mammo. I was like busy with my life and work, et cetera. And you just forget.
Don't think about it.
Right.
Absolutely.
But I really think breast self-exam is an important part of that early detection as well. Women should be doing a monthly exam on themselves after the age of 30.
Well, and to that point, I just lost a friend this past year at 31, died from breast cancer.
Exactly. My youngest patient was 24. Ooh. My oldest patient was 94.
Wow.
And the 24-year-old only came in because she had a palpable lump in her breast.
Mm. Oh.
I mean, if we do not do breast self-exam,
how are you going to detect it?
How are we going to find it? The other recommendation is to have a yearly physical exam by some type of clinician, gynecologist, family practice doctor, internist, clinician, physician's assistant, nurse practitioner. I don't care. Just have someone lay their hands on your breast once a year.
Yeah, it makes sense. And typically they do make that part of your OBGYN experience.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So don't fight it. It's good.
No, they should.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're not getting it, you should ask for it.
Yeah, I talked to a friend recently who had moved to the area, and her internist, where she moved from, used to do her yearly breast exam as well as her pap smear. She moved to the area, and she had a new physician here who is following her for just general medical care. She's like, you know, he really hasn't done a breast exam in a couple of years. And I said, you need to either ask him if he does them. If not, find someone that does.
Right. That makes sense. And let's just add to that point, because now we understand the importance of self-checks.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say we find something, or then the next step is a mammogram.
Correct.
To get more information. Mammograms have come a long way.
They have. These days, we just launched our 3D tomosynthesis, which is a type of new imaging. It still requires compression, unfortunately, still requires radiation, but this is the state of the art. It acquires multiple images of the breast, similar to a mammogram, but these are reconstructed so that we can see very thin sections of the breast. It would almost be like when you put your breast in compression, it's like a book. We image all the way through there with the X-ray beam, and we take an image in a two-dimensional image, and we do two views of each breast.
Mm.
The 3D tomosynthesis takes multiple images, and it's almost like when we view the images, it's like looking at the individual pages in the book. And so with that superimposition of all those tissues that we used to have with 2D, with 3D, we reduce all that superimposition and we see all the individual layers, and we're able to find cancers earlier.
Wow.
So we just launched that last week.
And that's right
awesome.
On site.
That's right
radiology.
On site. Exactly.
That's fantastic.
And do you have to be referred in order to be able to come see your team?
If you're asymptomatic, you can refer yourself for a screening mammogram. If you have a palpable lump or a finding, you still can. However, it would be best to see a primary care physician or your general surgeon or your gynecologist then come in. We still do see people with breast lumps as self-referrals, but my responsibility as the reading physician is to give you recommendations for who you need to see next, as well as the results of your mammogram. So the first step, if you had a palpable lump or some finding, would be see your doctor for a second opinion on your physical exam. The next thing would be imaging. We typically start, in most women over the age of 35, we start with a mammogram and a breast ultrasound.
Ah.
And we do 2-view. Well, now these days we do either 2D or 3D mammography. And we do additional tailored views of that area. We put a special marker on it. We might compress it. We might magnify it. We might roll it. Mm-hmm. And then we look at those results. Most of the time, I will do an ultrasound as well. And some women less than the age of 50 may have very, quote, dense breasts. It may be very difficult to find a palpable finding. I always go to an ultrasound, regardless of what the mammogram shows. Then the ultrasound allows us to see if it's a cyst, which is a benign thing, can be totally ignored.
Super common.
It could be a solid nodule, which aren't always cancer. A lot of these are benign. Or it can be an area of what we call architectural distortion that just looks like distortion in the normal fibroglandular tissue. Usually those two tests are enough to give us some idea. If I don't see anything that bothers me and we're still concerned about a finding on a physical exam, I will go even further and do a breast MRI. So it's kind of like, it does not require radiation, does require an injection, but it gives us an even greater, higher detailed image of the breast. So we can find, if someone has a negative mammogram, negative ultrasound, I will recommend an MR if we're still concerned about a palpable finding.
What a team to have there with so many years of experience and technology at our fingertips. If I were concerned, this is who I want looking to help me,
That's so important. Yeah, we've had the same core group. I mean, we opened the Women's Imaging Center, I think in 1997. Maureen Liu was my chief mammography tech, and she was my navigator even before the word was popular. She now oversees the department, and most of the mammography technologists and ultrasound techs I've worked with for like 15 years. So they're very experienced, and I trust them 100%, but it is a team approach. And then imaging is just a small part of the workup. If we still don't see anything, we still don't ignore it. They need a second physical exam by a general surgeon. And then if we have a finding, the next step would be a biopsy.
Uh-huh.
We typically perform those using whatever imaging modality we see it the best with that's easiest to do. If I see it with mammo, I do what's called a stereotactic breast biopsy. If I see it with ultrasound, I do that type, or an MR. Just depending on what we see it the best with. Sometimes if there's not a finding on any of those, the surgeon may actually do what's called an incisional or excisional biopsy himself, just through the skin with local anesthetic.
I had that, actually.
Did you?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I did. I went in for my very first mammogram, and it was really interesting. I had three little nodules on my left breast that are kind of horseshoe shape, and they were all exactly the same size, the size of like a jelly bean.
Mm.
So my doctor was really freaked out. She's awesome. Audrey Richards, so she sent me over to you guys. And I got to tell you, their office, your radiology is so amazing. I mean, you walk in there and it is so nice and it's so well run and it's so comfortable and relaxing. And so they did that. They did a needle biopsy and they just found out that I just had three hard lumps in my chest, probably from being kicked by a horse when I was a kid.
And then they come shaped like a horseshoe. Yeah,
which is what it was. It was. I was like, she kept going, but it's horseshoe shaped. I'm like, well, I used to ride horses. I have been run over, kicked.
I love them so much.
Yeah, it's probably just little scar tissue, but nothing to worry about. But I do go back every, I'm supposed to go every year. I go every 2 years because, you know, I'm almost 50. I'll be 50 in a month or two. And nothing's changing and it's holding.
Well, that's true. The good thing is like 80% of what we biopsy is benign. It's not breast cancer.
Yeah.
That's exciting numbers. Those are numbers we want to hear, doctors.
And I got to tell you from experience, it does not hurt.
There you go.
Don't be afraid of that.
You know, the listeners were wondering, does it hurt?
It does not.
But let me touch on the age thing. You know, people think, oh, okay, I've had my one nick in life. That does not hold true.
Right.
The incidence and chance of getting breast cancer increases as we age. Mm-hmm. And that is, after being a female, that's the second risk factor is advancing age. That incidence or chance increases to about the age of 80, and then it drops off a little bit. So
once you make it past 80, you're golden. Unless, you just got to get there.
94 was my oldest.
You're so right.
We got to stay on top of it.
We do. We're here. You're listening to the Vero Insider. We're here with Dr. Heather Nagel of Vero Radiology, giving us some information on how we can be prepared and aware in the month of October and year-round. And when we get back, we're going to hear a little bit about sea turtles.
What?
How exciting.
Happy. I like that topic.
Yeah, don't go anywhere.
When in need of a specific service, you go to a provider who specializes in it, right? So why not do the same when it comes to your home loan? At Caliber Home Loans, mortgages are all we do, and the Treasure Coast is our focus. We use only local appraisers to ensure true values, and decisions are made in-house. No hoops to jump through or feeling like you're just a number, like when dealing with the big banks. At Caliber Home Loans, helping you get a loan for the home of your dreams is not just what we do best, it's all we do, and we're here for you. So shop with confidence for your new home in Indian River County and come see our team of specialists at Caliber Home Loans. Call us at 844-GO-CALIBER or visit us online at www.calibertreasurecoast.com. I'm Shannon Pohl, and I approve this message.
Don't settle for fancy nails. Get Foxy Nails. Located on Miracle Mile in the Fresh Market Plaza, Foxy Nails is the premier nail salon of Vero, offering everything from manicures to pedicures and even private parties for all. Ladies, guys, and kids too. Open 7 days a week and walk-ins welcome. Get Foxy Nails, endorsed by the Vero Insider.
White Club Moving and Storage. We keep Florida moving.
A-plus rated with Angie's List and Better Business Bureau. You'll have peace of mind every time when using White Glove, plus free estimates. The Buggy Bunch says White Glove moved our office. It was great. Beth Mitchell of Sebastian Chambers said it was the best move of her life. Steve Schlitt of Coldwell Banker Paradise says we use White Glove at the office and personally.
866-GLOVE-10.
Absolute perfection. Fabulous food. Excellent staff.
That's just a few of the recent reviews for the redesigned Blue Star in downtown Vero.
Sexy and sophisticated, divine entertainment, and gorgeous wines.
Don't just take their word for it. Check it out for yourself and come hungry, or at least ready for a wonderful experience that will have you coming back for more. From decadent soups and salads to the freshest seafood, steaks, and lamb anywhere. Dressed in luxurious sauces and superb starches. Then, match it with wines approved and selected by owner and chef, Kitty Wagner. Feel like a craft beer or signature cocktail? At the Blue Star, you can have that and more. Open Tuesday through Saturday, weekly from 5 p.m. to close. Walk-ins welcome, large parties happily accommodated. Follow us on Facebook. See you at the Blue Star.
Welcome back, my friends. You know, as we try and enlighten and share some information about breast cancer awareness, I want to quickly give a couple shout-outs to wonderful sponsors. Foxy Nails, of course, open 7 days a week, can handle all your manicure, pedicure, and waxing needs. But they can do the coolest pink ribbons for your accent. Like, you can do it on your toe, you can do it on a finger. And they put a little diamond in it. It's adorable. And just help with the mission. And, of course, on their Facebook page, they did a nice tribute. So Foxy Nails, fantastic place to go. I was there this Sunday. And I'm telling you, Sunday mornings, it's a good time to go. They opened at 10 a.m. There was, like, nobody there.
Oh, that would have been good.
It was fantastic. And I brought in some bubbles.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like fun.
It's the way to do it.
Now, yeah, where's Foxy? You
thank you for asking, Dr. Nagel. It's in the Fresh Market Plaza. Oh, she wants a manicure.
She needs it.
You're going to go see our friends
get
over there.
Pink nails.
You get a free nail design when you mention Anna or the Vero Insider. It's just a perk. It's just a bonus. But right next to the Hallmark, you can't miss them. And like I had said, open 7 days a week. Great family. And they are so dedicated and so talented in what they do. Of course, the hair studio of Vero, also for all of your hair care needs, she is a master color technician. This lady can do anything. She's so versatile. But guys are also welcome. Walk-ins are welcome. But the most affordable salon in all of Vero Beach, hands down, the hair studio of Vero, Oslo, US 1, Publix Plaza. If you are in need of a new salon.
A new do.
Go see my friend Melissa.
A new you.
At the hair studio. Right. It is like a new you.
Yeah.
It's fall. You got to do fall colors.
Absolutely.
I can't make this stuff up. It's trending. It's trending. So after the big storm, you know, we talk about losing power. We talk about some of the trees and the debris. But one of the things we didn't necessarily think about were our sea turtles. In the house right now, we have Kendra Cope. She's our coastal environmental specialist. Whew.
Thanks. Yes. And thanks for having me today. The hurricane can do a lot of damage. It can take away infrastructure. It can rip away sand and some of our vegetated dune. But a lot of things that use or are very important species that uses that vegetated dune and our sand on our beaches is our sea turtles. And as many people know, our sea turtle nesting season ranges from March 1st through October 31st. So
they got a couple more weeks making babies.
Couple more weeks. And with that being said, since we are at the end of the season, which was our most successful season on record for our loggerhead sea turtles.
Yay! Exciting.
Yes, we had a record year with over 7,100 nests across the county.
Wow.
Whoa. Yes.
That's a lot.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Imagine if you could tax them. That would be so lucrative.
Having a government position.
Need I say more?
But since it was a great loggerhead year, and with that, loggerheads nest a little bit earlier in that season. Luckily, almost all of those nests had already hatched. We did have a few hundred still left on the beach. The largest estimate we could come up with that could have been on the beach, since we do not mark all of our sea turtle nests. In a lot of areas, we may only mark every 15th sea turtle nest.
Oh,
wow. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. We have a lot. Anytime you're walking across the beach and you see stakes in the sand, there's probably about 14 under your feet you don't see.
Oh, wow.
Yep. And so that being said, pretty much all of those had kind of already hatched and gone on their way, and there's only about maybe 600 at most left in the sand. But after this storm, Hurricane Matthew did erode a large enough area of the beach to take with it the remainder of those nests. But overall, that only accounts for at most 8% of everything that was laid this year. And of those, that 92% hatched and successfully made it to the water. So,
well, that's optimistic. Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that it was such a successful season.
Exactly.
Absolutely. We're so excited. And what's even better about that is it's not just because one entity is doing good work. It's because a joint collaboration between the community, the people, residents of this area, nonprofit organizations, conservation organizations, government organizations, everyone pitching in to reach out to people through education and through protection efforts and data collection. All of that combined helps us better understand what's going on our beaches, how our sea turtles are reacting to, say, for instance, beach nourishment projects. When we put new sand on the beach, we need to know how our turtles react to that. And we have enough information now that we know how they're reacting. We know what works better for them than in certain scenarios and in what areas.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I mean, that's just so much data. Important data that you're getting as a collective group that, I mean, wow, that has to be somewhat exciting. If I may just mention, I recently was at SeaWorld. Wow, you can learn a lot at SeaWorld.
You can. There's a lot going on at SeaWorld.
Loved it. What a great experience. But one of the things that they highlighted was about the lionfish. And one of the things, when we come back from break, I want to tap into our upcoming second annual Lionfish Festival that we're going to touch on. And, you know, it's important that we eat healthy.
Eat more lionfish.
Eat more lionfish. You're listening to the Very Insider.